You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
All right. Stephen Fondue, welcome to the hype seat, man. Welcome, welcome.
Good to be here.
You're our second official guest in the Pod Plus studio, and I felt that was appropriate for a number of reasons.
Okay.
Before I jump into my version of the story of how we met, can you tell the fine people who you are, what you own, what you do?
So my name is Stephen Fondue. I'm from Westchester, New York.
Bedford, to be more specific. I moved down here about 5 years ago, August of 2020. I was one of those COVID guys and lived in Manhattan, was a Manhattan guy through and through, never was going to leave the island.
Were you really? I didn't know that.
I was. Yeah. I lived in Chelsea for about 3 years. Then I lived underneath the 59th Street Bridge for about 2 years in an actual apartment, not under the bridge.
Until I'm not a New Yorker, I'm like, no, you lived under a bridge, yeah. Stephen. Your mother let you do that? No.
Yeah, even that would have been expensive, to be honest. Then COVID hit and couldn't deal with it anymore. I did about 6 months there. And
tell me about, because I think this is interesting as part of your story. We're going to get to this in a second. So you and I are both young for being in Jupiter, being business owners in Jupiter. Like, we're young. Like, I feel like people are always like, what's that kid's name that has the restaurant down the street? And I'm like, Steve, I'm pretty sure. How old are you?
30.
Oh, you are young.
I'll be 31 next month.
Oh, fuck me. You're way younger than me. Stop it. You're only 30?
Yeah.
Oh,
my gray hair is kind of...
You have such gray hair.
Oh, I got a lot.
How long... When did that happen?
I think my best friend Gabe in high school saw a gray hair in homeroom. I was a senior in high school. He looks at me and he's like, is that a gray hair I see on your head? I was like, no. No, it's not.
No.
And I looked and it was. So I think my first gray hair was 18, but... as you could probably attest to, not that you have any gray hairs.
I do, and it's devastating.
Owning a business causes some gray hairs.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I will say it's very hot, and I feel like you have that like olive, like Mediterranean thing going on.
It works. It shows my wisdom.
Absolutely. You know? And listen, in our area, we're in the Palm Beach area, right? And the male hair dye is not it.
No.
Some of these men, because we have, okay, so we have
people think I dye this. I can't tell you how many
honestly,
times I've been
I would have, if we hadn't talked about it, knowing you're 30, I would have been like, oh, it's a good look. Like,
yeah, but my response to them is like, why would I dye my hair gray? That would have to be one of the most egotistical things in the world if I had to dye my hair because I want to look old. I promise there has never been a touch of dye in my hair.
Well, running a business like you do, it does definitely benefit you for sure.
But yeah, it helps.
Yeah,
it helps.
Yeah.
It helps. Especially being younger because I hate that. I mean, I'm sure you do too. Like, oh, you're young, you own a business. Yeah. Like, age is just a number, man. You know, if you grind and you want it well enough and that's all that matters. I mean, age is literally a number.
I could not agree more. So giving people context. So Steve owns the restaurant that is at the tip of Cy Dry, as I affectionately call it, Cypress Cy Dry, Drive. Cy Dry till we die. Let's
all
go.
Day.
Cypress Drive is where my building is, where the mothership is, the Pod Plus studio. That's where we are right now. And when I committed to buying the building in May of 2023. And you committed to buying yours like that, the week that we closed, I feel
it was like the week later, I think.
Yeah. And like unbeknownst to each other. Mm-hmm. And we have, so at the time, like we have socially, I feel like the same friends, we run in the same circles, but we didn't know each other. And like I knew of you from your previous restaurant, but we had never interacted before. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, like that feeling of it's like a combo of anxiety and dread and adrenaline over a risk that you've taken.
Yeah.
Right. It like set in and I was like, holy shit, I just spent too much money yeah. on a warehouse that I now have to renovate. And I was just in my feelings. And the Wickrands, Ashley and Nick Wickrand, texted me randomly one day. They're the freaking best.
The best.
So I'm driving to work and I have to like renovate this building. This was 2 years ago. And I was like in my, like I'm pivoting my entire career. It was just a lot, like a big undertaking. Mm-hmm. And Ashley texts me and she's like, hey, the restaurant, the Crosby just sold. You need to meet the new owner. His name's Steve. Stop by right now. And I happened to be, I was driving my white Range Rover yeah. with my stupid logo on it. I happened to be driving right past your restaurant right when she texted me.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck, they were outside. Yeah. So I was like, I can't even avoid these fuckers yeah. right now. And by the way, the Wickrands like, are like my best
that's
friends.
Her, that's
yeah,
her.
Like just fast.
The
so
Range
like,
Rover.
Fuck. So I pull in and I'm like, I don't want to deal with this right now. Like I don't, and I'm telling you that changed everything for me because here, by the way, Steve Fondue, I was like, what? Jabron, like, come on, Steve Fondue bought the Crosby. Like, what Italian bullshit restaurant are we getting on my street?
Here,
yeah, because Cypress Drive is like, it's a vibe, man. Like I want it to be a vibe.
So badly.
And we need cool people on this street. And Steve Fondue opening a Italian restaurant, in my opinion, was not it until I pull in and I see what you're doing with it.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Like, you turned that place. So it was under construction and And your energy is infectious. And I just walked in and I was like, I'm going to be okay. Like everything's going to be fine because Steve is putting Aura here. Like we're going to be fine. Anyway, so we spend the next, like you and I were both like, when are you opening?
Yeah.
I'm like 3 months. Yeah. You're like, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
That was like a year. Like a year, baby. Yeah,
exactly. I think we learned on the next one that whatever the first date you hear, just double it.
Just
double it.
Double,
maybe
quadruple.
Triple.
Yeah. Whatever, yeah. Add, throw some money on it. Just yeah. sprinkle money. I feel yeah. like all you and I
whatever
have been
your
doing.
Budget is, double it. Just yeah. keep doubling.
Anyway, your energy is infectious. Again, everything about you is just, I literally walked away and I was
Thank
like,
you.
If I go down, Steve Fondue's coming with me. And he's actually cool. And he's not like, not
Amen.
A total douchebag.
Amen.
And what's cool is that Aura, it sits at the end of Cypress. So when people come, nothing makes me look cooler than a hop-in night at Aura. Because people pass your building, yeah. this like brand new, beautiful thing. And then they see my situation here and it's like, oh, this is where the cool kids are.
Yeah.
So I thank you for that. You have all kinds of Bentleys out front,
oh,
all
yeah.
kinds of Beamers.
Oh, yeah.
It's like
some Rolls Royces, Ferraris, yeah, whatever
sure.
we need.
Yeah.
Whatever we need.
Anyway, so talk a little bit about the restaurant and like, and why you opened it, how you opened it, like the circumstances around that.
Yeah, it's, I grew up in the industry. I could definitely say that. It's all thanks to Pops. He opened his first restaurant when he was 23, 24 years old.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Your dad is a restaurant guy?
He was, yeah.
That's so funny. I've always been so laser focused on your mom.
So mama's queen.
Like
mama's
the
queen.
I don't think, okay, so hold on. Before you reveal who she is.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a cooler job to have had in this period of time in the United States of America for a female. Like when you said it, I was like, well, goddamn, that's it. Like
yeah.
that's the pinnacle. So go ahead.
Yeah, she is. She's the pinnacle. My mother was, at her final point, she was the president of L'Oreal. She worked for the same company for 37 and a half years. And I always tell people, you know, you're a spitting image of everything that we're talking about, right? It doesn't matter who you are, what your age is, what gender you are. If you want it, you want it, right? And
yeah.
my mom did it when it was really tough.
Oh, yeah.
She did
Being
it in
a female?
The 70s and the 80s and
yes.
the 90s and just took it all, you know, took it all in the cheek and just made her way up. And when I saw my mother at that point, it was like, you know, I wish I look back and I say to myself, I took all of that for granted, by the way. You know, when I'm 13 years old, I'm going up to visit my mom on 47th and 5th and the 36th floor. She's got the corner office, L'Oreal's corporate headquarters, you know? And I'm walking in like the little shit, just like in his backpack, like, yeah, I'm Karen's son. Just like, didn't appreciate a single thing. Single. I'm just like, mom, like, can you send the secretary in so I can get an iced tea? You know, whatever. Looking back at that, you know, as a business owner myself now and seeing how hard I work and how much stress I have, I get like, I literally just get chills.
Same.
About
I just got total goosebumps.
She set the bar. And, you know, yeah. I think everyone's goal in life, or at least my goal in life is, you know, the parents set the bar high, but I want to beat them.
Yeah.
You know? And I just saw a quote the other day, your father is the only man in the world who wants to see you do better than he did.
Oh, I love that.
And it's kind of true.
Yeah.
It's kind of true with the world we live in. It's, you know, there's a lot of envy. There's a lot of jealousy. There's a lot of this and that. But at the end of the day, your father, your mother, they're the only people that truly want you to do better than they did.
Yeah, it's such a good take.
And they set it high, though. They set the bar pretty high.
It's so validating. It's so validating hearing that from you as a 13-year-old that you, I feel like I'm constantly trying to figure out how to, like, I came from nothing. My husband came from nothing. Like, how do you create that work ethic in your kids? And like, I see, like, my kids will come here and like, I mean, same thing. They're like, you know, my chief of staff, they're like, can we get a pizza? I'm like, wrong.
Yeah.
And obviously I'm not the freaking president of L'Oreal in the 70s, 80s and 90s. Like, everyone just take a second and absorb what that means. I can't even imagine that period of time, what she was in charge of, especially in the 90s.
She started as an outside sales rep. I mean, traveling door to door, knocking on doors, selling L'Oreal products.
So she was in sales, like that was her trajectory?
Correct, yeah, so she literally climbed the ladder. I mean, you look at her biography of L'Oreal, it's every single step you could possibly take. I mean, I think she had like 15 different positions from the bottom to the top. And then her last one was she retired in, I believe she's hired 2016, 2017, something like that.
That's so cool.
And it was tough for her to go kind of cold. She went cold turkey. You know, it wasn't like it was her last day and then that was it.
No way.
So I think me opening the restaurant has probably been the best thing ever because now it gives her something to do. Yeah. She's checking numbers and looking at things. And
so she came in through sales. Like, is she a numbers queen? Like, is she, what does she help you with?
Everything. I mean, she really does help me with everything. People.
She could help you with your hair.
Yeah. I mean. Oh, she did. She did. This is a great story. So I was my junior year of high school and I had dandruff and it wouldn't go away. It was like 2 or 3 weeks. It was so embarrassing. I couldn't go on a date. I was wearing hats everywhere. It was terrible. My mom's giving me her stuff from Laura. Oh, I'll bring stuff home. Just wasn't working. Was not working. So I'm driving home from high school and I'm passing a CVS and I go in and I buy 2 bottles of Head and Shoulders. Now at my house, it was like, that wasn't okay. Like you weren't buying the competitor.
Oh, that's,
you know,
so
you were right. But I needed, it wasn't working, Mom.
Yeah.
So I go in, I like hide the CVS bag in my backpack, run upstairs, take a shower, finish the shower. I'm putting the bottles underneath the sink so she doesn't see them in the shower.
Yeah, what are you going to do? It's Head and Shoulders or nothing, right? Like, what else exists, L'Oreal? So
Well, at that time it didn't.
Okay,
so 4 days later, dandruff's gone. Mom's like, told you it would work. She found the bottles. When I tell you it was the only time in my life, my mother did not talk to me for like 2 days. Yeah, I worked my ass off 12 hours a day for you to go buy the competitor.
That's
for
so
you to go buy the. I'm like, Mom, I just know. So she was, you know, she taught me passion for sure.
Wait, so did she take it back to L'Oreal and like reformulate some stuff? Like, is there a-
I guess, I think so. Probably. That was kind of towards her end of her tenure. So it's, I don't know if that was her final project, but Garnier Fructis was her baby.
Oh,
that was
in
the green is reminding me of it.
I can hear the ads. Yeah.
Yeah. That was hers.
Oh, that's
that was her pride and joy.
No kidding. The commercials when I was a kid, Garnier Fructis was, so I grew up in Germany and the commercials, I can picture them clear as day and hear them like that commercial because it had, like a citrus element and then it had the like, you know, and the green, like a total end, like I can smell it too. The total sensory. That's crazy, actually. I vividly remember that.
They were good. She used to come home with like 7 different commercials and ask us, you know, which ones do you like the best?
Yeah.
You know, the bottle was never originally supposed to be green. There was like 5 different choices and we would always, not that my opinion fucking mattered, but you know, I was like 7 at the time.
Wait, so tell me about your dad. I didn't realize, like I said, I've always been focused on your mom.
My dad was a restaurant owner. That's where they met. My mother came into my father's restaurant at Oliver. It was called Oliver's, spelled with 2 L's in White Plains. It was probably 30 years he had it, 7 days a week.
Is his name Oliver?
No, his name is Henry.
Who's Oliver? Do we know?
That's a good question.
And why 2 L's?
So Oliver is now my nephew, my godson. Oh, his name is Oliver.
2 L's?
With 1 L. No, my sister-in-law, Carrie, she was like, we could do Oliver, but it's 1 L. Oh, we're not doing the 2 L's. I don't know the answer to that question. And I should know the answer to that question. I'm going to find out.
Circle back.
I am.
We'll put a pin in that. We love that.
I don't know who the Oliver was, but it was somebody.
So was your dad, was he an operations guy?
He was an operations
chef?
Guy. He was me. He was the same kind of feeling as me. He was the people person. He had the ideas, you know, I don't know if he really knew how to cook, but he completes the best of them, and he put together a hell of a thing up there. And it was the hottest bar in north of Manhattan in all of New York.
Oh, cool.
And that's kind of where I fell in love with everything. I remember running through there, the kitchen, 7, 8 years old. And just, I loved the vibe. I loved that there was 200, 300 new people every day. And I still think, looking back at it today, my favorite part of what I do is that I get to meet 200, 300. Right now, not that many because it's summertime, but
it freaking looks like it.
Yeah.
I was just about to ask you. It looks like there's 700 people there every day.
I mean, it looks like it, but it's definitely quiet down a little.
Optics are like,
yeah. optics are big.
It is packed though. Every time I go there, it's packed.
No, it's,
and
it's
you always, great. Always the whole, I've been so freaking busy. I'm so embarrassed at how I have not been down there as much as I need to be. But
you've had as much
every time I show up, I feel like you find a way to find an, like I ask you for an inch and you give me a little country mile of like
always.
Space at the bar always. Or wherever. Like
you take care of the neighbors.
You're like you're like a mega, like an elite. And this is going to sound condescending and I don't mean it like this, but you're like an elite maitre d'. Like the way that you run Ara is like I love watch. I took a video of you. I have to send this to you. I took like a 6-minute video of you standing on the expo. Is that what they call it in fine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that would totally
yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
And you're like having your people run stuff and then you're like man about town in the, it's remarkable watching your flight path, like how you, and it looks so effortless, but it seems like every single thing that you're doing is so calculated and like trying to turn tables fast, but not
too
let
fast,
people know.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah, fair? Absolutely. 100%. You know, it's at the end of the day, it's a business, but you know, in season, you're trying to turn tables, but you never want to rush someone. You know, if someone's been sitting there for a couple hours and their check is paid, that's kind of when it's, all right, you know, let's get going a little bit here, you know, but I'm never going to rush anyone. If dinner takes a while, cause we're real busy and dinner takes maybe 35 minutes rather than 20 minutes. I get that. And I understand that you just finished your meal. I'm never going to try and turn the table too fast, but,
I feel like I would be not doing, I'm doing a disservice by not saying that Ara is literally one of the hottest restaurants in South Florida. Like it made all the headlines when it opened and it has delivered. Like everyone loves Ara.
It's amazing.
How would you describe it? Cause is it fine?
I'd say on the upper scale, I wouldn't say upscale. You know, I don't like to, it's not a white tablecloth. It's not I would say the dress code is no hats in the dining room, no open toed, you know, sandals or flip flops kind of.
It's like sexy. I feel like everything's
about it
sexy.
Yeah, it's sexy. It's, you know, I'll be honest, Bukan in Palm Beach was my favorite restaurant around here.
Yeah.
And I think I even told you when we were opening, it's my goal was to bring a Bukan kind of feel to Jupiter. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the people that appreciate that kind of style and that vibe and they don't mind spending the money as long as it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, my mom's tagline, L'Oreal, was because you're worth it.
So. Yeah, right. Yeah. I love it.
But really, you know,
if it's worth it,
people will pay for it. And I'm not going to say I'm inexpensive, but I don't think it's anything crazy.
I don't think I've ever had anyone comment on the price.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's all about Chef. You know, Chef Kayla is, you know, we'll maybe have her on here one day.
Yeah, I would love that.
She's a magician.
Oh, I should have asked her. Come on. I should have asked her to join us.
Well, we'll do one.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Tell but the people that.
She's got to work right now. So she wasn't coming anyway right now.
How are you here right now? It's literally like 5 o'clock. Are you?
Well, I got Griffin covering for a little bit.
Okay.
It's just down the street.
I won't leverage too much of your time. It's literally down the street. Yeah. How did you, you were 28 when you decided to, mm-hmm. How have we been doing this? It's been a long 2 years.
I know.
Like year and a half. 2 years? It's been 2 years.
I've been open for one. We got the keys in June of 23.
Yeah, it's been 2 years.
So it's 2 years. Yeah,
it's 2 years.
Exactly 2 years. Yeah, it's been 2 years.
That's crazy. It doesn't feel like that.
It doesn't.
Okay, so 28-year-old, you moved to South Florida.
Correct.
I need to understand how you all of a sudden have the hottest restaurant of all time. Like, how does that happen? Because I know you are, even though we were just talking about your parents, I know that you're not a product of like trust fund money and how, I mean, cause it's in our area, not for nothing. Like that's, I feel like a criticism. I certainly get that all the time. People ask me all the time how I bought this and I'm like, I fucking bought it.
Yeah.
Next question, please.
Yeah, it worked. So when I first moved down here in August of 20, I just got the idea of, you know, everything was kind of opening up back here from COVID and restaurants were kind of struggling, but they needed people. And funny story, actually, I had the same guy cut my hair for 10 years in New York. No one else touched my hair. No one else.
Because of dandruff or?
So when I came down here, it was
we've talked a lot about your hair. And I feel like the people,
it's L'Oreal.
You need to like go, like you have a good side.
Yeah, it's all good. It's, good, it's gray. No receding though. No receding.
Great. Yeah, I know. It's great. It's great.
No, it's good.
Yeah, 10 for 10.
So I had to find someone to cut my hair. And that's almost like the biggest thing I was worried about.
Now you gave yourself a flyaway.
Oh.
You gotta, yeah. Oh, you're gone. All right. There you go.
Yeah, she's back.
Yeah.
She's
ready. We can't be talking about how great your hair is and then you just fucked it up. True. Like, I'm taking care of it.
So she,
I'm gonna open this.
I went to the first person, didn't like it. Second person, didn't like it. I was living downtown at the time in West Palm at the Park Line, right by the, whatever this thing's called, Bright Line. Did we spill?
This is so good.
It's the best.
This is so good.
It's the best cocktail in a can that has ever been invented. There's no carbonation, 100 calories.
Okay.
You can drink 6 of them.
Yeah.
No hangover.
I'm like, is there actually alcohol in this?
Oh, because there's alcohol.
It tastes like perfect iced tea.
Yeah, it tastes like heaven.
Oh my God, that's so good.
It's so good.
It's so good.
And
why do more of these not have no carbonation?
I think about, yeah, exactly. The carbonation is what I don't like.
It's so stupid. I hate carbonation.
It just sits.
Yes.
It just sits.
Yes.
It makes me feel like
And everyone I'm around, I'm like, you're about to burp and I don't want to fucking smell your burp.
I don't want to be around you.
Mm-mm. Nope. Don't want to be around you. This is so good.
We're going to put these in Ara.
Okay.
We're going to put these in Ara.
Do they have them at Ara?
Not yet. We're going to get them though. Surfside.
And hair.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
And hair. No, they're phenomenal. So I was walking down.
Did we just pick up our first sponsorship?
Maybe.
They're
maybe.
Like,
I'll put them in the restaurant.
You clowns are not spot. We are not. No. In fact, bring that out of frame. Like, talk less about my drink, please. I feel like the owner is like, stop.
I want to meet them. They got to come down here.
Yeah.
Right. We will. Yeah. So I had to find someone to cut my hair. And I walked into a shop randomly, needed a haircut. And this girl, her name is Emily Kasker. She's phenomenal. And she cut my hair.
Wait, where is she? Where does she work?
Right now, she's out of her own studio down in West Palm. I can't think of it. She usually just rents studios here and there, and I kind of just follow her around.
Got it.
And she's the best.
Shout out Emily Kasker. What an endorsement.
She kind of really got me onto the food scene in Palm Beach County. So I went for my second haircut. I was talking about restaurants, how I had an idea of opening a restaurant, but I still needed to learn a little bit more. I wasn't ready yet. I was probably 24, 25 at a time. Wasn't ready. Didn't have the money to do it and need to learn more. So I got to find a spot and I got to learn underneath some really good, smart people. And Emily at the time.
That's smart, by the way.
Yeah.
Goddamn. If you're listening to this, like say it again, learn under
patience.
Smart people.
Yeah. Follow good people.
And know what you don't know.
100%.
Like, moving down to South Florida, like I'm sure hospitality scene is wildly different than.
Yeah. So different.
Yeah.
So different.
Smart.
And I came from a different kind of atmosphere. I was in more of like a sports bar, fun kind of scene in New York. And when I came down here and found Emily, she looks at me and she says, so I cut hair for these two guys who were opening up just opened a restaurant in Palm Beach Gardens. And that's where I met the guys over at Stash. And I started bartending there and learning under Andy and Pushkar. And I mean, there's no chance I would be able to be doing what I'm doing right now if it wasn't for that place and those guys. There's no doubt about it. So, I learned what I had to do there and things kind of happened as they did. And I've finally had that dream of like, this is possible. And then
what do you think
Frank.
You learned? So growing up in restaurants, like with your dad, what do you think you learned from working at Stodge specifically, like from like their leadership style or like, what would you say is their biggest takeaway?
A little bit of everything. I mean, mostly it was the behind the scenes stuff. You know, they were opening up Ela at the time and opening up another restaurant and just seeing two guys just give absolutely everything they had. I mean, you know, time away from family, time away from vacation, this and that. And they did it. God, they opened Stage in February of 2020.
Yeah.
And then came COVID.
Yeah. It's remarkable.
I mean, it's
remarkable.
I mean, I think I got there in think it was May or June. It was a little bit afterwards, or no, it could have been later than that, probably September, October. And I remember hearing stories that like Pushkar was out on the curb with a grill, just like cooking for to-go food and people driving by. I mean, it was you got to be there all day, every day and keep this afloat. And it worked out. You know, now they just opened their second location down in Boca. They've got Ila and Palm Beach Gardens and Donald Ross. And they're killing it.
I have so much respect for people that point to the passer. And I love how you do that with every time I've heard you talk about, which is not a lot. It's not like you're sitting here like talking about Stage, but I deeply respect that you always, it's like you go out of your way to indicate that.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Cause I don't want, you know, I didn't get to where I am right now by myself.
Yeah. Nobody does.
Like, no one does.
That is such a foolish, like, God, that is such a foolish way to go through life, man. Yeah. Like I think about that all the time, like how I can make my kids better people. And one of the things is how do you teach how to be grateful besides leading by example? Like, mm-hmm. but like, if you don't have that in your heart, it's hard to fake that too. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's impossible to fake that. So you met homeboy at the bar, right?
I met homeboy at the bar. So I was introduced to a gentleman, kind of as a VIP, just, you know, take care of him. And this guy's great, blah, blah, blah. And we got real close, really, really close. And when things, you know, kind of faded out at Stage and I had this idea, he really put me under his wing. And I think you like read books about guys like this. And he was really my mentor. And he took a chance on me. You know, a lot of people say it. A lot of people they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. And yeah. Part of my French, but this motherfucker walked the walk and talked the talk and did it all. I mean, he's one of, if not the biggest reasons that I'm here today. And he kind of said, listen, I want to buy a building. How about you put a restaurant in it? I said, let's go. I'm ready.
It's like you do like a quick like beat check and you're like, are you serious? Because I'm jumping out of my skin.
I said yes right away, of course.
Like, are you for real?
We're on the first hole or second hole at Old Marsh where he's a member at. And he got a text about Crosby's going up for sale. And it was the first and only time we've left golf in the middle of a round. I mean, we literally just turned around. I think we left our balls in the middle of the fairway. I was probably in the fucking woods. He was in the middle of the fairway and we just turned around and went right there. And I walked into that place, Holly, I swear to God, I walked in. I was just like, this is it.
Yeah.
Everything about it was the size, it didn't look the way I wanted to, but I already saw what R was going to look like right when I walked in.
Yeah.
It was just the cozy corner. It was Cypress. It was Side Dry.
Yeah. Side Dry.
All
baby.
About Side Dry.
Dude, it's so funny. Cause the Crosby.
I didn't even know it was here.
I
didn't even know it was here.
Most
I've been to Blackbird,
don't.
Lenora's. I've been up here 100 times. I didn't even know this street existed.
I know. Most people don't. Yeah. It's the best kept secret. And it's so validating hearing that you guys literally jumped off the golf course because people do know that it's here. And it's such a special street. I was for years looking for a building to buy. And the only place I wanted to be was on Cider, on Cypress mm-hmm. Drive, because I have a team of, you know, I have 40 basically women that work here. And it's... I wanted a warehouse kind of vibe. And the only place that I felt was like safe enough or I could do that, A, being able to afford it, and B, being able to influence the neighborhood too is really important to me. And you can't gentrify. It's hard to gentrify if you're a 30 something female. Like you really have to be a kind of a badass to like go into like Riviera Beach or like, I'll probably end up editing that out because I don't want to like throw that particular municipality under the bus, but
West Palm Beach.
Yeah. Anywhere else. Anyway, it's a vibe. And not for nothing, you guys were freaking dead ass right to jump out of your skin to go buy it because there were so many people that wanted it too.
Yeah, we were the first ones there. I believe we gave an offer on the following day. And by the third day, there was like 8 hard offers.
Yeah, yeah.
And I give a lot of credit to the realtor who sold us the place. You know, he was...
Who was it? Was it Rob?
It was Rob.
Rob. He's the best.
The best, man. I mean, he was just an honest, great man.
Yeah. You
know? And I think... Who knows what was going on, but we were the first ones there. We were the first offer. He stuck with us. He stuck his gut out and we delivered, you know, and I think it was just a win-win altogether.
Yeah.
And then we had to find a chef.
Yeah.
Then we had to find a chef.
Okay. So wait, so when, between what's his name? Your guy, the guy that owns the lot. You want me to edit that out?
Maybe.
So he does like to stay like in the background, right? Like does he let you do your thing?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so between when Homie was sitting at the bar and you closed on the building, like, what was the timeline for that? And, like, did you have the vision already, or was it just, like...
No, I wouldn't say I had the vision. I mean, I had the vision of a restaurant, and I had a vision of kind of the style and the vibe and the bar kind of scene. The time length was probably... Let's see, February. It was probably about 6 months.
That's so crazy.
I probably met him. I met him right when I got to Stage, which was like 2 years ago. But by the time I left Stage and he and I started talking to the time we signed the papers, it was about 6 months. So I knew him for about 2 years beforehand.
And so after you walked into the building, did you know what it was going to be?
Yes. I didn't know what the food was going to be. I knew what the place was going to look like.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm different in that way. A lot of people are like, oh, what's your next idea? I'm like, I got to see the place first.
Yeah.
I got to see where it is and I got to see what's around it. You know, I wasn't going to open up a Japanese or a Chinese place right here because you got the best one around in Blackbird right next door.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't going to open up another Italian place. You know, you got Lenora's, you got Evo, you got all these places around here that, you know, I'm not about competition. I think, listen, the best restaurants in the world are surrounded by the other best restaurants
yes,
in the world.
Yes, amen.
So
say it again. Please, I'm like at the edge of my seat.
All day long.
The way that you're saying that, the way that you just pointed to the immediate competitors, and you admitted earlier that Bukan inspired you. Like the fact that people don't point to their competition, like that helps you. Blackbird
all day,
helps you.
All day.
Like the way that,
all day. God,
it's so small-minded to not think of your competition as your help and as your friend
ally.
And as your,
all
yeah,
day.
Amen.
All day. I mean, there's no reason not to. Like let's create Cyprus and Jupiter and this little hub up here as a little restaurant hub.
Yeah.
You know, why have to go down to Palm Beach all the time?
Yeah.
You don't have to.
And it's conditioning the your audience too, like conditioning the community that you can eat fine dining. It only helps you.
Yeah.
I think one of the most small-minded things that anyone can do, it's almost like you lose me immediately as a potential, like actual close friend when you, something competitive gets brought up and it's like it's like the person can't sit out the opportunity to be like, well, yeah, Blackbird, the parking or whatever bullshit.
Yeah.
bro, don't do that.
Don't sit it out.
Like,
there's no reason for it.
Yeah.
I think
it's also the athletes in us too. Like if you've been an athlete at the highest level, like, you know.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.
What it's like to swing and miss.
Yeah.
And strike out. Well, as a business owner too, not for nothing, it makes it uncomfortable for people. So if they're eating at Evo, for example, and like your friends are like at Evo last night, and if you don't set the tone that you love Eric and that like it's all great, it makes people almost like I do this with real estate when someone buys or is in the market for buying a house. I'm like, I love that for you. Tell me about the deal. Like that's awesome. Like it's, and it's not disingenuous either. Like it's 100% authentic. Mm-hmm. Like I want my friends to ask me about, like I'm one of the best agents in this town. Like ask me about your, like tell me about what you're buying. Like I want to, like I'm excited for you. Like let's talk about it. You know? Okay. So going back to the vibe about how did you, I think it's remarkable that you said that you buy the restaurant, you commit to it, you go all in, like financially leveraging, like everything that you have is going into this, right? Every shred of energy you have.
Everything.
Your entire reputation.
Everything.
And you don't have a chef or an idea of what the food is going to be?
We met just before we actually got the official keys, Kayla and I.
That's so cool.
So long story short, I had an idea of who my chef was going to be. Things didn't work out, and so be it. He's crushing it right now, doing his thing, and you know, just didn't work out. So I needed to find a chef. Yeah, and Frank and I were interviewing about 3, 4, 5 different chefs. Come over to his house, beautiful home right off Prosperity on the water, big commercial kitchen, basically. And you know, 3 or 4 of them, they were good, but there was nothing special, and that's what I needed, something special.
Were you looking for a person that has personality as well? Like, do you butt heads with?
I didn't really give a shit. I just wanted really good food.
And I wanted someone with the desire and the passion to just be the absolute best. That's all I wanted. I didn't care if it was male, female. I didn't care. I'll be honest. I never imagined or I never really thought of hiring a female chef.
Really?
I'll be completely honest.
I was going to ask you if that was intentional because that move.
Not at all.
Brilliant.
Like, not at all. Nowhere near intentional. So the way I met Chef Kayla was Frank actually was at dinner. His flight got delayed out of Miami. And he and his wife went to dinner at a restaurant called Tur Kitchen, T-U-R. It was in Coral Gables. It was a weird time. It was like July on a Sunday at like 4:30. And Frank calls me. I'm up here in Palm Beach Gardens. And he says, Steve, I just had one of the best meals I have ever had. And it looks like there's a young girl in that kitchen who's running the show. She ain't getting much help. I think I'm just going to go walk into the kitchen. And he did. And he did. Yes. And he did. And, you know, how the story goes, you know, they exchange information. Frank told Kayla what he was doing. You know, he bought a building. I got this young kid who's putting a restaurant in there. He's looking for a chef. You know, I would love to send him your information. So he does. And it was about 7:30 at the time on a Sunday. The girl I was dating at the time, I called her and I said, hey, we're going to Miami tonight. So we drove down to Miami that night. We had an 8:30 reservation. We were the only people in the restaurant. And we walk in. She knew we were coming. And she sees me. She comes out. And I'm going to try not to get emotional for this. But it was truly automatic. Before she cooked me a single piece of food. Right when I met her. It was just, this is her. At the time, I was 28. She was 27. Jersey girl. She was just it. I mean, I knew everything was going to be perfect after that. And she brings out the first dish. I took a bite and I just started crying. I swear to God. She brought out a roasted squid. I swear to God. I took one. I already knew that she was in. I was just like, please, like, just please be delicious. I took one bite and I just started crying. And I think we made eye contact. And you know, it wasn't easy trying to figure out how we were going to, you know, come up here. You know, she was the executive sous chef and their executive chef kind of got tossed out and they were interviewing other chefs and she wasn't getting a chance to interview for that executive chef position. And I was like, well,
what was she doing there to begin with? So Kayla was on Top Chef, right?
No, she was at, so she originates from, she's from Jersey. But she was at the French Laundry.
Oh, that's right.
With Thomas Keller.
That's right. How did she get there to begin with?
I think just through her college, you know, where she went to school, she went to JMU. I think I said that right. Or JWU, JMU. Okay. I think it's JMU. And then she went out there and trained under him. She worked at, I believe, Per Se and French Laundry. And she took off. I think at one point she was the only female on the dinner service line at the French Laundry. So basically she's a badass.
I can't get over
like
her.
She's a badass.
I'm obsessed with her. And
you guys would be best. You guys should be best friends because you're both just badass fucking women.
Her, I think what's so fucking cool is your chemistry together. Yeah. Like, so part of my, my geeking out over watching you the other day, when I was just so like in awe of how you moved through the restaurant, she wasn't in, I don't think she was working that night or it was like, I couldn't see her or find her or whatever. And so I was watching like how the line reacted to you and like how, and then I've been in there since where you haven't been there and she's been there and it just, the command that she has of that, it's unbelievable.
Unreal.
Like, cause she's little too, right? Yeah. Like she's like,
yeah, a little
like,
girl. Yeah, she's a little girl.
It's unbelievable.
Little girl. Yeah. She's special, man. She really is. And it's amazing how everything happens for a reason.
Oh, totally.
It's
so what was she doing at that restaurant? Like, so she
was like the number two basically. Uh-huh. And their number one, their executive chef got fired for some sort of reason. And she was kind of like the interim executive chef and they were interviewing other chefs to become the executive chef, but they weren't giving her a chance. So I was like,
here's your chance.
Thank you. Like, thank you for being stupid.
Yeah.
Like, come on. So it took a while to kind of figure out the cross the T's and dot the I's of how we were going to make it happen. And I remember the last FaceTime we had, she was in the back alley in her car behind her restaurant in Miami, like ducking down, like hiding from her boss and was like, I'm in, like, we're doing, I'm in.
Love
so
that.
I used to
drive them up here every Sunday before they were moving up. And we used to use my best friend, Massimo, who owns County Line Pizza on Donald Ross.
Yeah.
And he...
Love that place.
At the time he was at, they had Casa Mia too.
Oh yeah.
Right at Indian Town, and they were closed on Sundays. Mm-hmm. So he gave me the keys, and every Sunday they would come up. I would put them in a hotel, Jupiter Beach Resort. And then we would go over on Sundays and start like creating our menu.
Out of Casa Mia?
Out of Casa Mia.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we created our entire menu out of Casa Mia.
So did she have ideas? Like, did you have ideas? How long did it take you to get the, cause your menu is unique. Like,
yeah, that was kind of it too. We said to each other, we want to do something different. She came, Turk Kitchen was a Mediterranean, like Greek kind of restaurant. I definitely didn't want Greek per se. Like, I didn't want it to be known as a Greek restaurant. And I like to say that we're a globally inspired restaurant with a Southern Mediterranean kind of core and flair. So anything.
And that's, by the way, exactly what you are.
Yeah.
Your menu reflects that. Like,
exactly.
And it's funny because I feel like I'm very like, I mean, I worked in fine dining, like serving. Mm-hmm. And I feel like these fine dining institutions get so cute with trying to describe what they are.
Yeah.
And it's like too much.
Too much.
Like,
simple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Simple. Like, you can be delicious and different, but just be simple.
Yeah.
You
know? And then also like their description sometimes aligns with what they think they are.
Right.
And it doesn't align with what they actually are serving.
Correct.
You know, like how often does that happen where it's like, there's a restaurant, I'm not going to name it, in West Palm that is Mediterranean. And it's like, not that. And it's like, do you even know what that is? Like,
yeah. I didn't want the menu that was like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, my chicken is called roasted chicken.
My
chicken parm is called chicken parm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
My salmon is called salmon.
Salmon. Yeah.
Like, it's,
yeah.
I give a little, and my servers and my team, you know, I pride myself. I would say my best attribute is putting together phenomenal people.
Yeah.
And my team, I cannot say good enough things about my team.
Yeah.
From my dishwasher to my hostess, to my executive chef, to my bar, I have the best team in Palm Beach.
It shows.
And there's not a doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
I do.
It shows.
And they're amazing. We're a family. We're real close and we all help each other out. We pull tips. We pull tips for a reason.
No way. Do you really?
Everyone helps each other out.
I love that.
There's no such thing as that's my table or that's your table. Bullshit. That's our table. You're inside of Ara, you're ours.
God, I love that so much.
That's it.
I love
that. There's not like that feeling of, I'm not getting tips on that table, so I'm not going to help. Fuck that. It's everyone is in here. We know it's not inexpensive. Some people come in here that can only come in here once a month or twice a year for special occasions. Guess what? Now it's our turn.
Yeah.
They decided to choose us. So that's kind of why I always say thank you for dining with us or thank you for joining us tonight when people enter.
Yeah.
A lot of people say it after you leave, right? The server's like, thank you for dining with us tonight. I hope you enjoyed everything. I say it right when you walked in.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
Because it's, you could have chose anywhere in town tonight. You chose me. Now it's my turn. So thank you. And now I'll show you why you chose this place.
It's so authentic too. Like and every single
really
thing
is.
You're saying is not only what I've experienced, but also what I've heard. Like it's funny when people will be like, have you been at that new Ara place? And I'm like, no, tell me about it. And I love it. Like it's like such a guilty pleasure. And part of me is also doing it as a business owner. Like I'm almost like looking and fishing for the feedback I can give you as like a friend, you know, like, hey, this person, like I have not heard a single negative thing said, not a one freaking thing. What's interesting too, is people will bring up, the salmon and how it was prepared when they were there. Mm-hmm. Cause you change it, right?
Yeah,
which I love. I love that.
Like change up the salmon a lot.
Yeah.
She loves salmon. She's all
Does
about
she?
The salmon. Yeah.
I do too.
The crudo, whether it's the roasted salmon with the quinoa or the salmon crudo, you know, it's always our whole menu really is. Our whole
menu
is.
Do you let her do her thing with, do you give any input at all?
In the beginning, I think I gave a little, Kayla's amazing. She's got a lot of, I think, respect for me and she always lets me taste and always, she'll never put something on the menu kind of without letting me know, but she can if she wants to. She's got full carte blanche back there and she's proven it for a year now and whatever she wants to put on the menu is going on the menu.
What is your, what do you take a hard line on?
Certain items. there's certain dishes that she's wanted to change where I think might be staples for a little bit, but
what's your favorite thing on the menu?
Favorite thing on the menu?
Wait, let me ask this differently. There's a guest that is your crush and you get to bring them one thing. What are you bringing them? And you don't know anything about them.
If they're a meat person, our lamb chops.
Yeah.
Our lamb chops are just out of this world.
Yeah.
I mean,
have you changed them at all?
Nope.
Yeah, they're good.
There was one moment where our vendor didn't have the same ones we were getting, so we had to change the vendor, and it just wasn't the same products, and we switched right back as soon as they got them back in stock.
Does that impact it a lot, like the vendor?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like the cut?
It's just a different, it's a different lamb. You know, it comes from a different place. It's stored differently, however it may be. But that was the biggest thing. I think when we were tasting, you know, our burger patty, we probably tasted 9 different patties before we chose that one.
Interesting.
It's not just, you know, pick a burger and make it. It's, you got to find our burger patties, 90% Wagyu, 10% beef.
Interesting.
And everything has a reason. It really does. I mean, from the time we designed it to the time we put the menu together, every inch matters, everything on the menu matters. It's never just thrown out there for sure.
Do you oversee the ordering of those things? Like in
not anymore, really. You know, I check the numbers obviously and all that, but our chef de cuisine, Danny, does a lot of the ordering. Kayla herself does a lot of the ordering. Griffin, you know, who's my number two over there, he does pretty much all the alcohol and liquor and non-alcoholic beverages. And, you know, I kind of just oversee it. And summertime is probably the toughest.
Just oversee.
Yeah.
I'm
there every night. I'm yeah. literally there every single night.
Right.
So that's one thing I don't know if I'll ever get away from. It's going to be interesting if and when I open another place, because it's going to be really hard not being at both places at one time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure you can relate to this. It's how bad do we want to make a clone of ourselves?
Yeah.
We can't. So our best thing we can do is to train and to lead and to be a good coach and to be a good teacher, so that when we do want to expand, the person who's going to run the other shop is as good, if not better than you are.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I found a few people in that, and I'm excited for what the future has for sure.
It's hard to let go. Like to
Very
give.
Hard. It's so hard. It's so hard.
It's so fun to talk about and then to actually do.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
It's so hard.
Especially when you're letting go of the things that matter the most. So like anything around like culture or vibe or marketing or branding, like because I feel like you're really good at this, and this is what I love doing. Mm-hmm. Is like the marketing, the business development, like bringing people in the door, regardless of what the business is, right? Mm-hmm. And that's also the area I think that it's the easiest, quote unquote, to outsource in both of our industries, all of our industries, because it kind of can like you can hire someone to do marketing and that doesn't have a full restaurant background. It actually might kind of benefit you, mm-hmm. like to have like an outside perspective. But it's also like if they mess up, like it puts you like a month behind. Like mm-hmm. if they mess up something on social media and they get the vibe wrong, or like they convince you to change something with the branding or whatever. And it's like in your gut, if you're good at it, you don't have any numbers to support what works. It's like, you just know it. You walking into the restaurant and just knowing that it'll work. It's like, well, based on what? And you're like, I don't even know what the food's going to be. I just know it's going to work.
I went all in. It was just, if I fail, I fail, but I'm going all the fuck in.
Yeah.
That was it. Like I was just putting all my marbles in, and if we fail, we fail. But I wasn't going to take a shortcut, and we didn't. And here we are.
It changed everything for me. And I remember when we were standing there, you were showing us like how the place was going to be laid out, and you were so passionate about, like you were showing me your building in the same way that I would have shown you mine. Like this is going to be this, and this is going to be this, and this is going to be this. And it's like, you don't even know what you're like. It's so funny. Like just glazed over. You don't know what you're looking at, but you love it for me because mm-hmm. I'm excited. And that's mm-hmm. how I felt. I was like, 100%. This guy is like this. I'm not alone. Like I'm not going all in on my own back. Like I have him swimming with me. Like 100%. We're in the middle of the ocean.
I felt the same way about you.
Go down. We're going down together.
You bringing me out to the Luke Bryan thing was awesome.
Oh, that was so fun. That was so fun.
You helped me out a lot with that. Big banner and everything.
Yeah,
that was fun. We had a lot of fun then.
I'm so happy for your success here. It's remarkable. Every time I leave and I see how hopping it is, I'm like, fuck yeah, let's go, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me what's next. Like what's, wait, hold on. Before I ask you that, what, if you were to go, I've been dying to ask you this question. If you were to do it over again and even kind of getting in the weeds, like anyone listening to this who is maybe like thinking about starting a restaurant or like is in the thick of running. I mean, you're a big deal. Like Ara's made a huge splash when it first opened, especially. Yeah. And it's continued to. So anyone that's listening to this, what would you have done differently, if anything?
Definitely would have done things differently. You know, it happened so fast. So once we opened the doors, you know, we weren't 100% ready. There's a bunch of things on the checklist that I didn't really check off yet, but we were ready enough. And then once you're open, it just is a freaking waterfall, an avalanche, you know? So I definitely got backed up on a lot of things. So, you know, organization for sure. I wish I was a little more organized from the get-go, just knowing that it was all going to happen so fast and things pile up, they pile up. And then next thing you know, you don't have even an hour on Sunday to hang out with your family because it's just too much.
Yeah.
But as you know, you get the job done. So I would just say time management, you know, I think I put together a great team, a great place, great food. But I would say time management really, and try and have some time for other things besides work. And I know I say it, but
it's so hard.
I don't do it whatsoever. I play a little golf and I still suck, but I love getting out of the
do
golf
you really
course.
Suck?
No,
you don't, I don't suck at all.
But I don't suck.
I feel like with the guys that you play with, every time I see them on Instagram, you're with some either a baseball player or an actual professional golfer.
Yeah.
Like you're out there golfing.
Well, the restaurant has got me in with some pretty sweet places.
Yeah.
I played some pretty great golf.
Where in the world is Steve?
Like, yeah.
How do I get on?
I'm all right.
And I think also I've always been this, it's like this work life, this concept of work life balance, especially as a woman, like it just does not exist. It doesn't exist.
It doesn't.
And I don't want it either. Like,
I don't know how you do it.
I don't want work life balance because I have always been this way and I work best when I'm like this.
Yeah.
Like I was doing this to myself when I was in high school. I've did it through college. Like I've always been this way and I don't know any different. And I think work life balance is something that gets projected on to us from people who don't like to live that way. And that's fair. Especially if you're in like my husband and I have always been in this like tango, and it's like people will ask like, well, I mean, I just did it to you with the like, how do you do it? And it's like, oh yeah, it's hard. It's actually not. It's really not. Like I'm cut from this cloth, you know, like that's it.
You love what you do. You heard it when you're younger and it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. You know, you love what you do. You don't work a day in your life. It's fucking true.
It is.
It's really true. I don't work. I love what I do.
Yes.
Love it.
I think the mistake that people make too is who aren't cut from this cloth, see people like us and because like living this over leverage, like I know you have somewhere to go right now and my email's piling up and we're like sitting here like going like, no, this is fine. This is fine. And we're going to be at our respective buildings until midnight making up for the hour we spent together. Right. So it's going to be right. But people see that and they're like, oh, like just, it's so like, I think it's a mistake not to acknowledge that this is what we have always chosen. And I don't want to speak for you, but like, I've always been this way.
I love working.
I love it.
Straight up. I'm not going to my cousin's wedding this weekend.
No way.
Yeah. Like straight up.
Okay. So can I tell you?
My first cousin, not going to his wedding.
Where's the wedding?
Cried in New York.
And you're not going. Why?
I can't. Got to work.
Are you going to change that decision in the very last minute?
I might.
So my first cousin is getting married this weekend in Cabo. And I changed my decision today. He doesn't know that I'm actually coming. Yes. I'm like,
so I've been the opposite. I've been going. I called him today and told him I can't go. If I can figure it out, I'm going to try and figure it out. But it's just that time of year, you know, it's slowing down. You gotta be there even more.
Yeah.
And it's, some people think when it's busier, you gotta be there more. I mean, yeah, that too, but this is where it's actually tough. You know, when things are flowing and you got, same for you, you know, when you're selling houses left and right and things are working, it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
You know, when things are slower and you know that end of the month dollar is not the same. Like this is where I got to actually be a real entrepreneur. Like this is where it's tough and I got to show what I got now. So it sucks, but you got to miss those things sometimes to get to where you want to be.
Yeah. The, that end of the month, like staring down the barrel of your payroll
and sucks.
Being like, okay, well, what do I do now?
There we go.
Where's the payroll?
Refresh. Refresh. Nothing's updating. Number's still the same.
Oh, it's all in good fun.
It is. It is. It
we're
is.
We're going to die early.
Yeah, for sure. I'm on the way. Gray hair. Surfside.
Just kidding. Yeah, surfside.
Surfside.
We need money, surfside.
Put a surfside in my casket.
I adore you so much. I thank you for being here. Lost on me that asking you for an hour of your time to come and banter with me is like a big ask, and I appreciate you.
It's the best. It's been an honor to be here. You've been nothing but the biggest support to me, and I'm happy to be here, and you're the best. I really appreciate it.
Keep crushing it down there. I quite literally need you at I need you on that wall.
I got you. I promise.
Anyway, thank you so much. I adore you. Everyone go and not only follow Ara on the social media pages, how do they find you?
Ara Jupiter, A-R-A Jupiter. We got a Facebook, our website, arajupiter.com.
If you've been, Hype Awesome, you can't help it. If you've been to Ara, leave Ara a review. How about
go to
Yelp, go to Google. What are the ones that you care about? Yelp and Google?
Probably Yelp and Google. Yeah. Open Table has been great. You know, we got some haters out there on Yelp and Google. So
I came crashing in your opening night. I don't even know if I told you this because you were like in the weeds. Your opening night, I went and looked at the reviews on Yelp and there's one motherfucker. Oh,
yeah. There's a few.
So honest about, I'm like, your bread was, what did he, there was one know. Guy and the way
I try not to read
I them. Created like five fake accounts and was like, my bread was fine. My timing was fine. It was like literally the most Karen moment of my entire life. Couldn't help myself.
Hey, no, we're not perfect, but we're getting better every day. And I think everyone would really, really love it. It's a great vibe. Right when you walk in the door, we make everyone feel at home.
Do you need a reservation? Like how far in advance do you need one?
Depends. I think during the week for the summer, you know, just give a call and you could probably get you in unless it's a bigger party. Weekends, I'd say give a week or two advance. You know, we're pretty packed up on the Friday and Saturdays. Yeah. Throw Holly's name out there. You're in. Automatic. We'll find a table for you.
Don't do that. You go to the end of the line. Don't do that. Anyway, thank you for being here. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Appreciate Holly.
You played baseball in college?
Correct. I played at Furman University.
Where's that?
In Greenville, South Carolina.
How did you get to Greenville from New York?
My brother, actually. So I kind of followed my brother's footsteps all along the way. I went to the same high school as he did. He's 5.5 years older than me. So we never actually got to play together. But I've always, you know, wanted to be his shadow in a way, and I was proud of it. I didn't mind it. So I played baseball at Fordham Prep, as did he. He got recruited out of high school to Furman University. And when I was in high school, I used to visit him all the time, and that's where I wanted to play. So it was kind of just my goal was to play there. I applied to one school. I early decision to one school. There was
really,
I took the SAT once and didn't matter what my score was because I was already in and they didn't care about the SAT. I was going to Furman.
Oh, that's so cool. Looking back on it, do you wish you had done something differently or did you?
No, I don't. Unfortunately, the baseball program at Furman's actually no longer there. It was one of two schools during COVID that, for whatever reason, we won't get into because that's a whole other conversation, but they canceled the baseball program at Furman. It was, I believe it was almost a 100-year program.
No way.
And it had to do with, what's it called? The
Title IX.
Title IX and this, that, and the other. I think there were ways around it. A bunch of us alumni tried to raise as much money as possible. We were, during COVID, we were having Zoom calls with 50, 60, 70 people just trying to get our program back. And I think the person—
good for you for not taking a knee.
We didn't. But there was the person at the helm was not going to accept anything but a no. So
who do I feel like Furman, I played soccer in college. And Furman, I feel like, was always just such a cool school. Like, it so was. like low key, but high key, mm-hmm. like classy kids, classy program, classy uniforms.
Yeah.
Like 10 for 10 logo. I can picture the logo on the whole getup, like about Furman is just class.
It was cool. And that's what we prided ourselves in. We prided ourselves in that we were undergraduates of 2,500 people mm-hmm. and second smallest Division I school in the country behind Davidson. And we would go into South Carolina on a Wednesday night in front of 20,000 people and win.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it was like, this is the fun part. And I think the new administration kind of wanted to bring it to a Division II, Division III kind of school, academics first, which is all good and well, but we were academics first anyway. You know, we were proud to go to Furman. We had to go to school.
Yeah.
We had to show up. You couldn't just not go to school. You know? I'm not saying other schools don't, but.
No, listen, I went to, are you kidding me? I'm an SEC girl.
Yeah. Like we had to go to school, you know, it wasn't particularly easy. Yeah. And then we'd still show up and beat the big boys and we were proud of it. And it kind of, it sucked for sure. It absolutely sucked.
Tell me this, is that, so you guys rallied and we're totally off.